God doesn't need strength. I used to think, boy, that big old football player, if he'd give his life to God, God could sure use him. Yeah, but it wouldn't be because he's a big football player, because he gave his life to God. God can use a little ping pong player just as much as he can use a big football player. God can use a tiddlywink player as much as he can use a football player. God's not concerned about your football. Well, boy, you're his strength. God could sure use his strength. Well, I got news for you. God's getting along pretty well without his strength. God holds the world in place. God made the mountains, and God made the trees, and God doesn't need to borrow anybody's strength. God does not need your flesh because it's pretty or big. God wants to use you because he wants to get glory out of frail creatures such as we are. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Isn't that amazing? God has to put up people like you and me. God has chosen, now get this, here's the one God uses. God has chosen the foolish things of this world. Hey, you know what the word foolish there means? Huh? You Greek students, it's the word moros, M-O-R-O-S. We get our word moron from it. It says God has used the morons of this world to confound the wise. If you don't believe that, look at this platform. God uses the moron. That's what it says. God uses the morons to confound the wise. When I think about that, I think about this idiot in a certain church down south. There's the president of the First National Bank was a lost sinner, and this idiot was going to be a soul winner, and he does like that, and he had a stupid look in his eye, and just an idiot, really. And so the president of the First National Bank came in the service, and the pastor looked back and saw the president of the First National Bank coming to church. And boy, he thought, I'm going to do my best tonight to really win that fella. And this idiot got up and walked back to the president of the bank and looked up, and he said, are you going to heaven? And the pastor thought, oh, my soul, my soul, my soul. Of all the people to meet him, that idiot. And he said, are you going to heaven? And the fellow said, no! And the idiot said, well, go to hell then. And the president of the First National Bank said, I better not do that. And he fell on a conviction, got saved in the service that night. See, God uses morons, see. Bible says God's using. Now, don't you go around town telling Brother Howe, say Brother Howe, tell everybody to go to hell. I'm telling you what the idiot said. And that's what you're going to tell folks this idiot said, too. But that's the kind. What kind does God use? The mighty? No. Noble? No. Wise? No. He uses the morons. He uses the morons. He says God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. Let's notice. Let's go further. God has chosen the weak things of this world. The word weak there means strengthless. Strengthless or feeble. It has in mind a little palsied condition because you're too weak. God uses the palsied people, it says, to confound the things which are mighty. And base things. The word base is an interesting word. It's a word, comes from two Greek words. One which is ah, and the other is genes. Ah, genes. The word genes for birth. Like genes, and the word ah means no in the Greek. And so what it means is God has chosen the ah genes, the no genes. What it means is God has chosen those come from no noble heritage at all. God has chosen those that come, that no count is really what it means. God has chosen the no count. We say, boy, God can use him. He has a Ph.D. Now, I'm not against Ph.D.s, but that's not why God uses Bob Billings. I'm not against Ph.D.s, but that's not why God uses Dr. Wendell Evans. And I just soon have Dr. Wendell Evans, and I mean this, and you professors can just sort of fit this the best way you can. I just soon have Dr. Wendell Evans as vice president of our college if he had not even gone to high school, if he had the same facts in his mind and the same wisdom he has tonight. I just soon have him. God's not impressed with degrees. As Billy Sunday used to say, he said, Billy Sunday, D.D., you heard about the theologian named Fiddle? He wouldn't accept his degree. He thought it was bad enough being called Fiddle, but he wasn't going to be called Fiddle, did he? And Billy Sunday said, okay, he said, doctor, so-and-so, D.D. He said, D.D. doesn't help a thing. It's like the curl on a pig's tail. It's mighty pretty to have on the back of the pig, but doesn't make any more pork. Don't forget that, Dr. Fisk. You're still just as big a pig as you were before. You're not. You're not. There's no more bacon in you now than there was before. Oh, it's easy for us to get impressed with ourselves, isn't it? Huh? God doesn't use that kind of people. Somebody walks up and I was watching a preacher on television recently. He got up and he said, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great joy for me to be here tonight. I've traveled across this great country and God has raised me up for this day. How did the little fellow get up and say, pray for me, I'm about to stutter and I need your help. God doesn't use the mighty people. God doesn't necessarily use the handsome people. God can't use a handsome fellow that thinks he's ugly. And God can't use a mighty person that he thinks he's weak. And God can't use a great person that he thinks he's base. God uses the morons and God uses the strengthless, feeble people. And the base, our genes, no count, no heritage, no pedigree, no count. Goes on to say, God used the base things of this world, the things which are despised. The word despise is a very interesting word. It comes from two words, one which is ek, which means out of, and the other which is alphais, which means nobody. And so God uses the despised, the out of nobodies. The out of nobodies. You know one reason I think God uses a fellow like me? My dad was a drunkard. My dad couldn't read. He couldn't even write his name. If he had to write Willis Athey Hiles, he had to write an X and somebody else had to write his name. Now I wonder why. I came out of nobody. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not making insults of my dad, but I came out of nobody. And God looks down and he sees these that come from... You know, when God had changed our nation and sent great revival in our nation, he never has taken the man out of seminary to do it. Never has. When God wanted to shake this nation, he didn't go to the seminary. He went to the shoe store in Boston, Massachusetts, and got a fellow who went to the ninth grade named D.L. Moody and shook this nation with him. You know why? Because if some Ph.D. from the seminary had shaken this nation for God, he'd have gotten all the praise and all the glory. But that ninth grade student shakes the nation for God. Who gets the glory? God gets the glory. When God wanted to shake this nation, the first part of this generation, where did he go? To Princeton Seminary? Southwestern Seminary? Southern Seminary? Where did he go? Went out over here to Chicago, out in the left field of the Chicago White Sox Stadium, Comiskey Park, and got the left fielder, Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday used terrible grammar. He'd get up and preach, and he'd look down toward hell. Come on, old smutty face! Let's go a few rounds! That's no way to preach. Anybody knows that. You didn't get that from seminary, from Hiles Anderson homiletics class. I'm not against homiletics, but I'm simply saying God does not usually use the profound, the mighty, the wise. God uses the base. And then he goes on to say, says, things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not. And that's very interesting too. The words are not there come from a Greek word which means shunned. Overlooked, like David was shunned when his father, Jesse, didn't think David would be the one. He thought of every boy he had, but not of David as becoming the king. Shunned! God uses the shunned ones to get his job done for God. God uses bad people. You come to God and say, dear God, I'm a good man and you can use me mightily. No. I'm always concerned about a man that thinks God's going to use him mightily. I tell you the kind of fellow God's going to use mightily. It's the kind of fellow that says, if God had used me at all, it's more than I deserve. Oh, I'm wicked and I'm vile and there's nothing good in me. And whatever good I have, it's because of him. And if I get unselfish, the unselfish is tainted by selfishness. And if I get good, it's tainted by bad. And if I do right, it's tainted by wrong. And Lord, how in the world you could ever use me, I don't understand, but here I am. I'll give you what I've got. My hands are weak, but they're yours. My body's weak, but it's yours. My feet are trembling, but they're yours. My mind is not great, but it's yours. My face is not handsome, but it's yours. My body is not big, but it's yours. All I have is yours, if you can use me at all. A fellow called me on the phone the other day, and he said, Brother Hiles, if you could use me just to be the custodian at the church, I want to come back to First Baptist Church. He used to teach school here. He left, and he called back, and he said, I miss First Baptist. He said, that's the best place I ever was in my life. Don't forget that in case you ever decide to leave. He said, Brother Hiles, my wife and I were happy, and we didn't know how happy we were. He said, if I could just be the custodian. Did you know that's one reason when I hire people here at First Baptist Church, I sometimes hire a person for some little, piddling, insignificant job, see what he's made of, see if God can use him? We gave Brother Fisk a doctor's degree the other night. Dr. Fisk, and he deserves it, and I mean that, he deserves it. You know why he deserves it? One reason he deserves it? You know what I hired him first to do? Sweep the place. He's the fella I used to say, instead of Bob, I used to say, see there, you? This building's too cold. Get that thing fixed right. And he'd go down there and get it fixed right. Never talk back. Oh, one time I slapped him in the face, and then he never talked back. By the way, honestly, if I did slap him in the face, or if I took a knife and stabbed him in the stomach, he'd pull the knife out and say, "Preacher, if you felt led to stab me, here's the knife back. Do it again if God says do it." That's the kind of people God can use. That's the kind of folks God's looking for. Time and time again, I've called a person to my office to talk to him about, listen, there are 25 men in America that I haven't hired because they wouldn't work for nothing. I've called men in my office and told them purposely several thousand dollars less than we'd pay them salary because I wanted to see if they're willing to scrub the floors and go hungry for God. I've never thought about salary when I preached. I started off for $7.50 a week. I'd been preaching 2 years before I made over $20 a week. I was pastor of First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana before I made over $100 a week. And I've called men in, and I've said, "We'll pay you so much money." And the men have said, "Well, I can't live on that." And I've said, "Okay, that's all I can pay." I had in mind within a month's time, maybe almost doubling that salary. No, I want little people, and God wants little people. And I want the little fella, and God wants the little fella. And I want people that don't think they're very much. I want people that don't think they deserve very much. I want people who make, if they make a dime, say, "Blessed be God, I don't deserve it." And that's one reason why Brother Fisk hired him to be a custodian and then a part-time worker on the staff. But he wasn't too good to swing the mop and swing the broom. And do you swing a mop and swing a broom? Roy Tobin is swinging up here a while ago while he was singing. Swinging a mop and swinging a broom wasn't too good. That's the kind of folks God is. God doesn't use big shots. God uses little shots. He doesn't use the strong, use the weak. He doesn't use the mighty, use the base. He doesn't use those that are something. He uses those that are not something. That's the kind of people that God uses. Now let's go back. Think in history sometimes the people that God has used. Billy Sunday never went to school. Billy Sunday was never ordained. You know why? He flunked the ordination test. Boy, I'd hate to have been sitting on that committee, wouldn't you? Flunked the ordination test. Dwight Moody was never... When Dwight Moody got saved, tried to join the church, he flunked the admission test into the church. God pity the church. Wouldn't you love to live with that all of your life? I bet up in heaven that preacher's still blushing. Oh, good night, Peter. I sure goofed it down there. Just a 17-year-old kid wanted to join the congregational church up in Northfield, Massachusetts. And I didn't know he was going to be a great evangelist. And I bet Mr. Moody up there is all the time. Yeah. I told you, boy, you didn't know, did you? No, you didn't know. Did you know that Jonathan Edwards, the great Jonathan Edwards, was kicked out of his first church? Why? He preached against dancing in the theater and unconverted folks taking communion. And God uses people like that. The girl in the corner that I've called down once before, the second one from the end with the long hair, don't you take your eyes off me the rest of this service. God uses the little people. God uses the no counts. Whom did God use to cause the Midianite army to flee and win the battle with the Jews with 300 people? A Gideon, little runt. Whom did God use to part the Red Sea and lead 3.5 million Jews to the Promised Land? Who was it? Little slave boy, found with the king's daughter in an ark of bulrushes. Whom did God use to feed the 5,000? A little lad. Whom did God use to point Naaman to the great Elisha? A little maid. God uses little people. Sam Jones, Jonathan Edwards, and others. Did you know God uses the nobodies? God uses the nobodies. For example, have you noticed how that God does not bless denominations when they get to be something? Take our Methodist brethren. The Methodist denomination was started as an off-brand kind of group, sort of like we are here in Hammond. That's what the Methodists were. John Wesley pulled out the Episcopalian Church of England, started the Methodist Church. They're a movement. They were hated fanatics, always bothering folks, always witnessing to people. Now listen, John Wesley went back to preach in churches, and you read his biography or his diary sometime. It says, John Wesley said, preached in St. Anne's, kicked out after first sermon, and asked not to come back. Evening, p.m., preached in St. George's, can't go back there either. Sunday morning, June 20th, a.m., preached in St. John's, told never to return. P.M., preached in St. Jude's, can't go back there either. Sunday morning, June 27, a.m., preached in St. James, stone, kicked out of the church. Sunday afternoon, June 27, p.m., preached in the street, kicked out of the street. Sunday night, preached in the meadow, kicked out of the meadow. He went to the tombstone of his own father, and on the tombstone of his own father, using his father's tombstone for a pulpit, preached to 20,000 people. They stoned him, and with blood running down his face, he kept on preaching. That's what made the Methodist denomination, brother. And what killed it was when she got big and famous and rich and thought she was somebody. And she's dead tonight. God uses nobodies. So what happened? Pentecostals, Assembly of God pulled out, started the Pentecostal Assembly of God movement, and they were nobodies, and God used them. Then what happened? Nazarenes pulled out, and there were nobodies, then God used them. What's happening to the Nazarenes tonight? They're trying to become somebody, and God won't use them like he did. Assembly of God's trying to become somebody, and God won't use them like he did. God will not use a group of people who get the glory and don't give him the glory. That's one reason why God doesn't use a lot of our denominational plans. We have a denominational secretary spend all their time in some big office trying to run the church's business and tell them what to do. Somebody ought to send them out soul winning. Or get them saved. Or both. I'm simply saying, take the Presbyterians with John Calvin, John Welch, and John Knox, and all those great men of God, aflame for God, aflame with the Holy Ghost of God. They were nobodies. Burned at the stake and hated and gave their lives for God. John Wycliffe and others gave their lives for God, ran for their safety and ran for their refuge and ran for their lives. They're nobodies. God used them to shake the whole world for his glory. But now you can't find a Presbyterian church within miles of here. It even has church tonight. You know what happened? They quit being nobodies. Let me say a word to the men on the platform, and you young preachers and the faculty members of the school here. We have a college, but God is not any more impressed with us than he was before we started the college. We have doctor's degrees, but God is not any more impressed with my doctor's degrees than he was the little brother Jack that used to call me as a kid preacher in East Texas. God does not bless you because you're somebody. God bless you because you're nobody. And I wouldn't want to give a degree to anybody that didn't think, oh, I shouldn't have it. There's so many others that ought to have it before me. I shouldn't have it. God blesses little nobodies. You know, that's one thing I look for when I interview somebody. Dr. Billings will tell you, I turn down more folks than I accept when I interview. I interview all the teachers. I'm in a teacher for a kindergarten or a teacher for the grade school, junior high school or college. Now, I interview all the teachers. And one of the first things I look for is if they think they're nobodies. If they think they're nobodies. I don't want any big shots at Hiles Anderson College. I don't want professors that stand up and the students, I want the students to be awed at them. I want some professors that stand up and think they're not worthy to even teach in the school. Oh, I'm not saying I don't want folks who are qualified. I'm simply saying one of the qualifications to be a little fellow. Take churches. Hey, did you know what? You know God's not impressed with us because we have the largest Sunday school in the world? Do you know that? Did you know one of the surest ways in this world for God to withhold his power and spirit from this church is for us to get impressed with ourselves? God uses nobodies. God uses bad people. God uses people who have nothing which to claim except the breath of God. I've done this time and time and time again. I've walked up to preach, and I'd be preaching along, and I'd be doing pretty good, I thought. And then soon I'd think maybe I'm doing pretty good, and I'd stumble and fall. Fellows, you know how many times you've gone the pulpit, and you, Yeah. I like what that country preacher in Texas said. He came home one day from church, and he was so mad and discouraged. He was crying and went to his room, and his wife said, "It's time to eat." And he said, "I don't want to eat." And she said, "What's wrong with you?" And he said, "I tell you what's wrong with me. I can't preach, and I don't know anybody that can." And that's the way I feel sometimes. After I lay a few eggs, I go to my study and say, "Was that me?" And then all week, I'll say, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, when I preach Sunday, do something to the people while I preach. I don't mean a good sermon. I mean, use me and shake somebody and change somebody and mold somebody. Use me while I preach." And I'll walk in the door over here and I'll say, "Oh, God, I need help. I need help. I need help." That's when God uses the most. You know, it's a strange thing. Last Sunday night when I was preaching, I was so tired, I thought I couldn't walk out of the door. Absolutely, I was so tired. I preached on "Search Me, O God." And honestly, if I got searched, he'd had to search me. I didn't have enough energy to do it. And I was so tired and had to fly to Alaska all across the country and fly 10 or 12 hours on Monday. And during my sermon, I said, "Lord, I don't think I can finish this sermon if you don't give me some strength. I'm about to fall over. I'm tired and I'm sleepy and I'm worn out. Lord, help me." And you know what? More people have come by and told me that that sermon blessed them last Sunday night than any sermon in a long time. You know, in our weakness, we're made strong. In our strength, we're made weak. God will not use big people. God will not use big churches. Listen, I do not want people to look at, I do not want us to say, "Well, First Baptist, we do have the greatest church in all the world." But the reason we do is not because we're somebody. It's because God in His mercy has seen fit to meet with us here week after week after week after week. 'Tis God. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His Word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus everything. You know, it's a strange thing. I run around with big preachers. I know personally all the big preachers in America. I mean, fundamental preachers. I don't know Norman Vincent Peale. But I know all the Bible preachers in America. And I do not know who wrote The Power of Positive Thinking and things like that. But I know all the great fundamental preachers in America. It's a strange thing. I get around a fella running 3,000 in Sunday school and get nervous. You know why? Because I don't even think about us. I still find myself identifying myself with a little church in the country in East Texas. I don't want to be a big preacher. I just want to be used of God. I don't mind you call me Dr. Hiles if you want to, but I prefer Brother Hiles. Or I prefer preacher. Now, if you want to say Dr. Hiles, up to you. I don't think it's a sin to say Dr. Hiles. The word doctor means teacher, and I try to teach you. And that's just like saying teacher Hiles. I don't mind that. I like preacher better. I like brother better. And I'd rather sit on a log and talk about the Bible with some poor little lady down in Forks of the Creek somewhere than to talk about it with Karl Barth or some other great theologian somewhere. Listen, you know one reason God uses this place? We're a bunch of little people just trying to get the work done for God. We're not trying to impress anybody. We're not trying to be big shots. We're not trying to make a big name for anybody. We're just trying to get the job done for God. And listen, as long as we can stay that way, God can use us, because God uses little, base, bad, nobodies like us. That's who God uses.